Yes, storge. That is the commandment of the Old Testament. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, as you love your own flesh. And that's what the love of storge is all about. It's a great, great gift. Family affection. And I hope you can say what I can honestly say about my own family. And I hope you don't resent my bringing up my own family here, because it's the only family I really know outside the Capuchin Franciscan family. We're on good speaking terms with each other. There's a real affection on the phone pretty often too. AT&T or these other companies that devolve from AT&T are making money on us. We think it's better than the internet because they can hear our voice too. That's so important for us. Great, great gift. And then there's the love called philia, or friendship. And a friend is somebody you can trust with your deepest secrets and your most intimate feelings. And that's why spouses have to be completely honest with each other in every category of their life, except in one exception. And I'll stand by this too, even though you may disagree with me. You never, ever confess your sins to your spouse. They probably know them already, but do not give them confirmation on that, because that's the stuff of which ammunition is made at the time of eventual confrontation down the road when she's in a, I was going to say bitchified, but I can't use words like that anymore. She's in a really bad mood. That's the stuff she'll throw right back in your face. Don't do it. You take your sins to the confessor, to the priest. He'll take care of it for you. But the love Christ is always talking about, always, is this love of agape. A-G-A-P-E. That's the Greek word for the Latin word caritas, charity. That's a literal translation. But you know, the connotation of charity in our culture is kind of a handout. This love is far, far beyond that. It's unconditional, it's sacrificial, it's eternal, it's completely unselfish. It's a great, great gift. And that's why so many marriages fail. That red rose of eros has not matured into the white rose of agape. And it has to. And the only love of the four, eros, storge, philia, agape, that's the only one that perdures into eternity. There's no marrying or giving in marriage in heaven. Until death do they part. That's why a surviving spouse can marry somebody else when the spouse dies that he had. And Jesus settled that very, very clearly in that big argument between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Do you remember that one from the scripture? The Pharisees believed in resurrection, and the Sadducees did not. So the Sadducees presented a dilemma to Jesus. Here's a lady that had seven subsequent husbands. It's called levirate marriage. And the obligation of the brothers who had to marry this surviving spouse, they had to, and the issue, the offspring that they would have would be in the name of the deceased brother. This was the law. And here was a woman who had seven husbands. Whose shall she be at the resurrection of the last day? And Jesus says, you know nothing. Because he comes from the other side, from all eternity, from the creation of the world. He knew what happens in eternal life. They will be like the angels of heaven. Although sometimes on tombstones you see beautiful words. And I have a habit of walking in cemeteries. It's the most quiet place in the world for me. And I'm not scared to go there at night either. It's a good experience for me. You see those epitaphs, together forever. Yes, that's true. If they both die in the state of sanctifying grace with a similar achievement in the merit before God, yes, they will be together forever. But marriage ends with death. And, you know, family affection that has not matured into the love of agape, that does not last into eternity either. And superficial friendships based on some common interest will not perdure, will not last into eternity. The only love that lasts into eternity is agape.